John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Then each went to his own home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and the law of Moses commands us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you very much. I want to talk about listening to one another today. And this is not a good Sunday to do that, because most men are going to be so tuned into those football games that they're not going to hear anything anyone else says. But nevertheless, I'm going to venture forth here to talk about listening today. I am grateful for the Methodist Church requiring me, in order to be a fully ordained elder in the Methodist Church, requiring me to be a college graduate, a seminary graduate, because the university that I attended, I majored in psychology. I first encountered philosophy while I was at Ohio Northern University. And then I was forced, if I'm going to be a fully ordained elder, I had to graduate from seminary, and I went to Boston University School of Theology because they pioneered a pastoral counseling in this country. And I learned a lot about theology while I was at this university in seminary. I learned basically that God is love. That is the fundamental thing that my heart took away from those 3 years. And I learned a lot about psychology. I stayed on 2 years to get a master's degree in counseling directly. But I learned through certain ways in counseling to take this idea, the reality that God is love, and psychology helped me to apply that to myself and to others. And as I began to understand myself better, my crazy world and my brokenness and my sins and my hopes and my dreams, as that training began to help me to understand that, I began to look at myself differently. And I began to look at other people differently. I didn't just see a body out there anymore. I saw someone who was struggling and who was a child of God and who was trying to get ahead and was trying to understand his or her own life. I simply began to look at people differently. The theology that God is love and a little bit of psychology to help me to be a medium of that love. But today I want to talk about listening, and I have to tell you, you do not have to be a professional. You do not have to have a degree in counseling or a degree in theology to listen to other people. You have to want to listen. You have to care enough to listen, but you don't have to have these professional degrees. That they help. But I'll be honest with you, some of the best listening that's ever happened in my life was just from some common, ordinary people who took the time to listen to my heart, to my world. So we can all listen. We can all become a better listener. I believe that the gift of listening is one of the greatest gifts you can give to another person. To listen, in essence, is to love that other person. And that's the greatest gift of time of yourself that you can give, is simply to tune in and to really listen. If you want to increase the sense of value and worth in another person, just really take time to listen to them, because as they are listened to, their sense that they're worthwhile to be heard, their sense and appraisal of their own worth begins to go up in proportion as you listen to them. And the great miracles of God begin to happen when one human being really listens to another human being. God begins to happen. If you want others to know that you really care, then listen to them. If you want others, if you want to enter into people's loneliness and their isolation, then listen to them. If you want to ease another person's sense of self-hate and shame, then really listen to them. If you want to know and understand another person, you only know that by listening with a hearing ear and heart. If you want a sense of closeness with another human being, listen to them. If you want to drain off the poison in another person's life, you can do it by really listening. If you want to tell others want them to tell you what's in their hearts, they're not going to do it until they know that you're listening. If you want others to tell you, you have to not have an attitude of condemning or judging. If you want to share your faith, you earn the right to do that by first listening and listening deeply. Only then do you have the right to speak. You don't tell other people how they ought to feel. You listen to how they really do feel. And then that becomes an avenue by which God can touch them. But I think there are two things now, if we're going to listen and improve our skills at listening, listening with all our heart, soul, mind, strength. If we're going to do that, there's a couple things we need to do prior to listening to other people. One is learning to listen to our own life, our own inner world. Listen to yourself. Listen to your grief and your sorrow. Listen to your struggles and your failures. See, these are bridges to reaching out to other people for you to understand who you are. Listen to your own fear of being rejected and not being loved. Listen to your own sense of inadequacy and not okayness. Listen to your hopes and dreams. Listen deeply to the good part that God has put in you. Listen to your guilt and your anxiety. You're listening to yourself and listening to your own feelings so you can learn to feel your feelings. And then you're ready, my friends, to sympathetically and empathetically listen to another person. But not until then. Not until you have some sense of your own world are you ready for that next step of really listening to another human being. And then the second thing we need to do is to learn to listen to the heart of God. 700 years before Christ, a minor prophet named Hosea was a prophet in Israel. And he's called a minor prophet, but believe me, he had something very major to say, and that was how to listen to the heart of God by listening to your own heart. God said to this prophet at a critical time in the history of Israel, I want you to go down. I want you to get married. I want you to get married. And furthermore, God was very specific to Hosea. I want you to marry Gomer, who is a prostitute, a sacred prostitute. There were cults of nature worship, and this was part of that whole scene. And I want you to marry her, and I want you to know ahead of time that she's not going to be faithful to you. But here's what I'm hoping, Hosea. I'm hoping that when they see that you love Gomer, and when they see that she's been unfaithful to you, then maybe they will understand my own heart. Their experience may lead them into the deeper regions of who I am as God. And so Hosea thought, okay, I'm going to do this. And he goes down. I don't know how he got Gomer to come home with him. That wouldn't be easy for a prophet to go down and talk to a prostitute and propose marriage to her. He must have been some charismatic character to pull that off. But anyhow, he convinced her that she ought to marry him. He didn't tell her the whole story. No man ever does, by the way. And so he entices her to come home. Now, what he didn't know, though, was in this conspiracy, this divine conspiracy, was that he was going to fall in love with Gomer. They had three children. And he fell deeply and madly and passionately in love with this prostitute. But by the time the third child was born, Gomer was with other men. And the problem, you see, is that Hosea loved her. And she left him with the three kids. And this man who loved her, his heart was broken and shattered. And if you've ever really been in love and lost that love, you understand this morning what it means to be rejected like that. And so here he is, alone and lonely. And somewhere he has an epiphany. And by the way, this is epiphany season when God reveals himself to us in various ways. He had an epiphany one night there in the darkness of his own room and his brokenheartedness. He said, oh God, now for the first time I understand, God, how your heart must be pained and hurt. Because Israel has gone after strange gods, adulterating herself with strange gods. And just as I feel so broken and hurt because this woman I love is no longer with me, I now understand, God, out of my own feelings, how you must feel. And God said, after a process of time, now Gomer, or rather Hosea, I want you to go down and I want you to bring Gomer back and I want you to love her. And he goes down, ladies and gentlemen, and by this time she was prematurely old, her youthfulness was gone, and she in fact is a slave, and all he had to do was to buy her. And he bought her for $2.08 of barley. She wasn't worth very much on the market, was she? No one really wanted her. And here this prophet comes back, and he has to say to her, Gomer, I still love you. I want you to come home. And she goes home with him. And he does love her, and we don't know the ending of this story, but it has to have a good ending, I am sure. It's a great love story. But my friends, when we understand that God loves us with that kind of passion, just as he would not let go of Israel, that he will never let go of us, and we surrender ourselves to that love, then we are ready to begin to listen to other people, but not until then. God's love helps us to listen. When that other person comes and seeks you out for whatever reason, and it dawns on you that they really want to speak to you, then that's the time for you to turn on your listen button. Because you see, what you're looking at is not just someone that's an accident put together by time and chance. You're looking that someone is created in the image of God, and they deserve to be listened to and heard. The image of God is within them. They are of sacred worth. And you see, God helps us to love other people, which you'll never listen to them really until you have a sense of loving people and caring about people. We begin to see them, how God loves them, and that kind of love releases us to hear the other person. And we don't hear until, in some sense, we love. God helps us, his love helps us to get off of the judging and the condemning. We're so primed sometimes that we can't wait for the other person to finish so that we can tell them what they ought to do and who they must be and how they should feel. But God in his love says, don't listen to people and at the same time trying to be judged them and trying to condemn them. You can't do those two things at the same time. You put all that stuff aside. And you just listen to where they are, to their struggle. As Thoreau said, we all live lives of quiet desperation. People have a story they want to tell, and they need someone to listen. And the scripture setting this morning is right to the point. This woman caught in adultery and brought to Jesus while he was teaching. And that circle around Jesus, they brought this woman right in front of him and interrupted him and said, you know, this woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. We caught her. And our custom says that she should be stoned to death. Now, what do you say about this? Notice they didn't bring the man. Now, Lord, what do you think? This woman's caught in adultery. What should we do with her? Should we stone her to death? And so our Lord didn't answer them. By the way, there is a time to keep silent. He didn't answer them, and he stooped down to begin to write in the earth or the dust there. We don't know what he wrote. There's a lot of speculation about that. And didn't say anything, as if he hadn't even heard. But they kept demanding that he decide, make a decision, answer their question, should we stone her? And finally he looks up and he said, he here who is without the stone, he who here is without sin, you cast the first stone. And brother, there was a silence over that group there. This woman standing there, fearful and frightened and humiliated. She did not know what was going to happen. And in that silence, they began to drop their stones and go away. You could hear the thud of those stones hit the ground, one by one. The old men left first, and I don't know why they did. Maybe they just had more of an accumulation of unaccounted for sin in their lives. But finally the Lord looks up and there's no one there but Jesus and the woman. And ladies and gentlemen, it's always just Jesus and you. And he said, woman, where are your accusers? Is there no one here to condemn you? And she said, no, Lord, they are gone. But what would this one, this great counselor, as Isaiah say, what would he say to this woman? And then you know, he said, neither do I condemn you. Go your way and sin no more. The first order of business was not to condemn her and not to judge her, but to love her and understand who she was in the struggle in her world. The business of not sinning anymore is very important, or she will end up here again. But the chances are, this day, experiencing God's love and listening to the heart of this woman will set her free. John 3:10 says, God, Jesus himself speaking, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's not a matter of condemning. It's a matter of loving and listening to another human being. And God's love helps us to transcend and not be so self-preoccupied. I know we are so focused on ourselves that if we're going to listen to another person, we have to put all of our world aside for a little while. Whatever we're coping, we don't have to be perfect to do this, by the way. If we had to be perfect, no one would listen to anyone or try to help anyone. But we need, whatever my garbage is, I need to bracket that and set it aside. And I need to fully attune myself, rise above myself, and listen to this human being that's in front of me. God's love helps us to lay ourselves aside and do that. God's love helps us not to interrupt. Boy, here's some of these talk shows, my friends. I can tell you, some of them I will not listen to because all it is everyone interrupting everyone else and shouting and screaming at each other. There's no listening going on there at all. But we are inclined, when we should just hear this person out. Don't interrupt them. Don't tell them how they should feel. You shouldn't have that grief anymore. You shouldn't feel this sense of anger about certain things. Just listen to them and don't interrupt them. The sad truth is, a beautiful truth is, that so many people don't want your advice. They don't want your solution. They want you simply to listen to them. When your wife comes to you, do you think she wants you to solve the problem? She might. But by and large, she wants you simply to take the time to listen to what she has to say. And the great majority of people You know, they don't want to hear all the solutions. They simply want to know that you care and that you're willing to listen to them. And then finally, my friend, we need to remember that the Holy Spirit is at work in another person's life. That person, no matter inside or outside of the kingdom, the Holy Spirit is dealing with that person. And all you're doing is trying to accentuate what the Holy Spirit is already doing in their hearts. And when you begin to listen to that other person, then the miracles of God begin to happen. That gives the Holy Spirit an opportunity. Once again, through your listening and being there, it gives the Holy Spirit to continue that work that He is doing in that person's life. Listening produces wonderful miracles. Let me tell you one more story, and then I'm through. Long time ago, I sat in the Slater room at First Church and listened to another person, a young person who had just launching his own company. And there that day, he sought me out. We made an appointment, and he came. And the sun was coming through the windows. It was a beautiful day. And he began to tell me his story of brokenness and hurt and pain and shame. By the way, don't be shocked at what people say, because that will turn them off. But he began to tell me his story, and it was a real struggle story. And when that was over, I did not say one word. I made sure that I was paying attention. If you go to a psychiatrist, Ann Landers tells about a woman going to a psychiatrist, paying him $250 an hour. And she said, "My problem is," to dear Abby, or Ann Landers, "was this, that I looked out of the corner of my eyes and the psychiatrist was asleep. So what should I do?" So I listened to this. And when it was all over and you could sense the unburdening of a human heart, and you could sense him beginning to assimilate things in his life and arriving at his own conclusions. And when it was through, all I said was this: "God loves you, and I love you too." And that was not a cliche. In the spirit of the moment, I meant that. That was the turning point in that person's life, simply because he was listened to. And that is the power of listening. God wants us to listen with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Amen and amen.